Here's another message from Life Christian Church.
I've called my message this morning, When Jesus Shows Up. And I don't know about you, but I have some people in my world that just seem to show up at all the wrong times. Does anyone have any of those people? No, just me. Shane does. I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. Yesterday, we had good friends come and stay with us, Andrew and Candace, and there was a bit of swell about, a bit of surf about. We decided to go surfing at our local little break, and it was only small, but it was going to be a lot of fun, and we'd been eyeing it off. We'd checked it about five times, waiting for the tide to get perfect, and everything was lit for a good time. And we load the kids up, the boards up, we get to the point, and we park there. We pull up, my family and I, in our car, Andrew and Candace behind us, unbeknownst to them. But we pull up, and a friend slash acquaintance of Haley and I's is sitting on the rocks right where we want to get in. And this is one of those beautiful friends who is a great friend. There's no question about that. But the amount of time you spend with this person is best done in small doses. Does anyone have those friends? Am I saying the wrong things? Did you not expect this morning? Do you think I'm not human or something? This is one of those friends that you really want to limit the time you spend with them. 5 minutes is about the limit. Beyond that, you're just like, would you please just stop talking? And this particular lady, we won't buy into that, but this particular lady was sitting on the rocks. And we've got out of the car and it's like, what are we going to do? Haley is with Candace. They want to just chill out, sit on the rocks and chat while Andrew and I have a surf. And I'm thinking, oh no, like everything was lit for this moment and it's just exploded. Anyway, unbeknownst to Andrew and Candace, I made the decision that the next point around the corner looked a little bit better. So that's where we went. I don't know how your world rolls, but we have people that show up that we love, people that show up that we love, who are just inconvenient sometimes and show up at all the wrong times. I've shared this before and some of you gave me this cheeky little grin, but I don't know why you have a contacts list in your mobile phone. 90% of the reason I have that is so as I can screen who's calling me. Because there's certain numbers in my phone and the only reason they're in there is so I know which call not to answer. Do any of you have those? I want to know when that person calls because I'm going to do everything I can to be busy. Are you with me? Now you'll call me this week and I won't answer and you'll think you're that person. You finally got the message. Fantastic. There's people that show up at all sorts of random times. We also have dear, dear friends that know what it is to show up at the right time. And it's kind of the Aussie male thing, but when you got a mate who just knows when to show up, we call him the wingman. Who's heard that term before? Have a good wingman. And it's so awesome when you're doing something that particularly, I guess, from a blokey perspective that requires a bit of grunt and a bit of effort. And your good mate, your wingman shows up just at that perfect time. And that's such a good feeling. I don't know about you, but it's almost like they can read your mind, your schedule, what's going on. But they just know when to show up. Does anyone have friends like that that you highly value? Awesome. Well, I want to share a story with you this morning. As I said, I've called my message When Jesus Shows Up. I want to share a story with you this morning about how good it is when Jesus shows up. Can anyone say amen to that this morning? Let me give you a little bit of backstory before we open the scriptures together this morning. But we're going to have a look at John 20, verse 19 and 23. Don't put that up yet, Nick. But let me give you some backstory to this. Jesus, sorry, mate, I stitched you up, didn't I? You can punch me later. Jesus had just been crucified and spent 3 days dead in the tomb. Mary gets up early, takes the early shift. She's a bit of an early bird. She makes her way down to the tomb. The stone's removed. She wanders on in. and the grave clothes are sitting there empty. The disciples had already been and had a bit of a squiz, see what was going on, and they were so scared, get this, they freaked out so bad that they run home like a bunch of little kids and lock themselves in their house. They freaked out. They're so scared. They did the bolt. Mary comes along on the scene. As I said, she comes in. She finds the scene, empty clothes. She walks in. There's some angels in the tomb, and she begins to talk to the angels and pray, I'm sure. She turns around, and at the entrance of the tomb is someone who resembles a gardener, the person taking care of the place. She turns around, she begins to chat, she begins to talk to who she thought was the gardener. Little did she know it, but partway through the conversation, she would discover that it wasn't the gardener, but it was indeed Jesus himself. I'm not sure about you, but if I was in that scenario, I'd be a little bit freaked out. Jesus instructs Mary to go away, tell the disciples what she'd seen, reassure them that all is well. We pick up the story, thanks Nick, at John 20, verse 19 and 23. If you have your Bibles, why don't you open them up and join us there? If you don't, it's up on the screen. It reads this, verse 19 of John 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever been in a position in life where it just seems impossible? Where it just seems like all hope is lost? Where it seems like it doesn't matter what I do, this is not going to be what it should be? I want to tell you this morning some good news. I want to draw some points out of this text. I want to encourage you, and I want you to know that Jesus is in fact a person that knows when to turn up at all the right times. Are you with me? I want to give you very quickly four points. The first one is this, is that Jesus always turns up when all hope is lost. Who's glad about that? I don't know if you think about that text that we just read, but when Mary was at the tomb and when the disciples were at the tomb, I get a feeling that at that very moment they felt all hope was lost. All hope was shattered, it was gone, it was lost. Let me assure you this morning that Jesus always turns up when all hope seems lost. You know, nothing that the disciples or Mary was faced with in that moment at the tomb made any human sense. Made no sense at all. You imagine being Mary, you're standing there looking at empty grave clothes. You turn around, you're talking to a gardener, and all of a sudden the gardener's the person who should be dead in the tomb. It makes no human sense. But Jesus always shows up. Jesus shows up. My second point here this morning is Jesus shows up because he understands. I don't know about you, but it's easy to go through life on this earth and go through trials and challenges and things that are quite tough and go, I'm not convinced that Jesus understands. Let me tell you this morning that there is absolutely no situation, there's no emotion, there's no scenario, there's no temptation that Jesus hasn't faced himself. Jesus understands, church. Hebrews 4 and 15 puts it this way. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. We're not talking about a Jesus this morning that sits high on a throne who just says, "Oh, you sinners, get your gear together. I don't understand why you do what you do," because he absolutely does understand, because he's faced all the same temptations. Are you still with me? My third quick point here this morning is Jesus shows up because he cares. Jesus always shows up because he cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Jesus cares for you. So very quickly, we've established that Jesus shows up because he cares. But furthermore, I want to say to you this morning that Jesus doesn't just show up. But when we give our life over to Christ, he doesn't just show up, but he actually lives within us. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." This is good news, church. So we know why he shows up, but perhaps you're asking this morning, what does he offer when he shows up? What does he bring when he shows up? I want to give you another quick 4 points this morning. We'll be done. We'll be home for dinner before we know it. If you're taking notes this morning, please write this down. But when Jesus shows up, point number one, he always brings peace. We look at verse 19 of John chapter 20, and it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" The first thing that Jesus offered in this situation when all hope seemed lost was peace. Peace. See, we got to understand that our sin actually wages against God, and our sin therefore robs us of peace within ourselves and peace with God. You also need to understand this morning that when Jesus shows up, and it's because of Jesus and through Jesus, that conflict can be resolved and we can find peace with our Father in heaven. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Make peace with your Father in heaven. Let me assure you, you'll never truly know what it is to have peace within your own life. You can try and fill it with everything, and we live in a society where we try and fill that void, that God void in our lives with everything. And they're not always bad things, but until we find peace with God, we'll never find true peace. Can I hear an amen this morning? My second point is this: if you're taking notes, he brings a new perspective. Jesus always brings a new perspective. Verse 20 says, "After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." I have a few thoughts of what it's going to be like when we get to meet Jesus. I have a few questions that I kind of have the shopping list of questions that I want to ask Jesus. I think most of us have those. I get a sneaking suspicion that when I meet him, all my questions will just disappear, and I'll be just like a surprised little kid in a candy store with a long face. But one of the things I can't wait for when I see Jesus, that I reckon's just absolutely going to bust me, is to see his side and to see his hands and his feet. Because in that very moment, I reckon a whole lot of things are just going to line up. A whole lot of thoughts, a whole lot of emotions are just going to shift the way I've ever thought. I reckon if we could bring Jesus in right now and he just stood here and you could see his hands and his feet, I reckon a whole bunch of our questions would disappear. I reckon our perspective would shift very, very quickly. You see, the disciples shifted when they saw Jesus' hands and his side. Their perspective shifted from fear to a position of joy and great faith because of a new perspective. The way we view things changes and our understanding increases. Our focus shifts away from our own desires and begins to focus on God's plans and purposes. I don't know about you, but I get easily distracted. You might be surprised by that. I get distracted very, very easily. I loved what Rebecca had to share this morning, that when she finds herself still before God, stuck in a good book or stuck in the Bible, that her perspective changes. She becomes a better mother. She becomes a better wife, a better person, because her perspective shifts. I love that. I love how she also said that for all of us it's different. One of the things I love to do is I love to be out and about. I don't like being inside. I get kind of itchy feet to get outside and do something. Quite a few of my family members, to chill out and relax, they love to watch movies. I hate watching movies. My take on that is, why would anyone lock themselves inside on a beautiful day in a dark room for 2 hours, sit there with their best mate and not say a word? What's that about? I don't get that. If you like doing that, continue to do it. Just don't invite me. I'm kidding. I love to be outside. I love sitting in the ocean. I'm so glad my best mate's wired the same. I love to sit in the ocean or go and hike a mountain, and I always feel closest to God when I'm out in His creation. I spent a lot of my teenage years bushwalking with Haley's dad, and hear this for what it's worth this morning. I'm not dissing the church, but I've felt as close as I ever have to God sitting on top of Mount Ossa that I have standing in church. Is that right? Is it wrong? No, it's just how God's wired me. And that's okay. But let me tell you this morning, the thing I love most about floating in an ocean or standing on a mountain is that every time I do it, I sit there quietly, I process thoughts, and my perspective shifts, because it's a moment where I'm just quiet with my Creator. Are you with me? I hope this is helpful for you this morning. My third point is this: when Jesus shows up, He always gives great purpose. Verse 21 reads again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." If you didn't get it the first time, I'll tell you again. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus always comes with a great sense of purpose. See, there's a purpose to your existence. And perhaps for some of you this morning, you might be visiting. You may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's absolutely fine. But let me tell you this morning, there is a purpose to you being here on this earth. You are not just here because, you know, your folks loved each other. You're not just here as a result of a mistake. You're not just here for no apparent reason, but you're here because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Let me tell you this morning that you'll never understand what that plan and purpose is unless you get right with your Father in heaven at some stage during your journey. And perhaps today's a good chance to do that. You know, God's purpose is to see all mankind represent Jesus right here on this earth. Let's keep it really simple. But God's purpose for your life is that you would reflect Christ to all of those around you. I talked about when I get to heaven what it might be like. Some of us have heard this train of thought, but whether or not when we get to heaven we'll our life kind of have been recorded, and we get to heaven and God plays back our life in front of our very eyes. I sure hope that's not the case. It scares me to think, as a Christian, as a pastor of a church, what some people see when I have a bad day. what some people see, people that don't know Jesus, what do they see when I get cranky? What do they see when I get too busy doing all the right things, but overlook the people around me that need to see Jesus? See, the purpose God has for you in your life is to reflect Christ to all of those around you. God has a purpose for you. And again, you will only find that when you plug in to a relationship with your Father. My fourth point this morning is this. When Jesus shows up, he always gives power. He always gives power. Verse 22 says, "And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, our minds race in all sorts of directions depending on our upbringing, what we've experienced, what we haven't experienced. I've spent my whole life in church. I have some wonderful memories of what the Holy Spirit was up to in the early 90s and through other times and periods. And, you know, I don't want to freak you out this morning, but we once had this guy come to our church, and I'm not belittling this morning, but he had this thing where if you wanted to be prayed for, in order to receive a touch from God, you had to put his jacket on. I don't know how that sits with you, but in my head, I kind of go, cuckoo, cuckoo. It was just weird. And as soon as we talk about the Holy Spirit, we get, depending on our background, some of you have got the weirdest faces on right now. You're going, "How dare you say that, young man?" I'm sorry, but sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit and it just gets a bit weird. And everyone goes, "Oh, what are you on about?" Really, the Holy Spirit is just Jesus alive within us. What's so weird about that? I don't know. Sometimes it gets a bit bizarre. But let me tell you this morning, it's God's heart, it's God's desire that you would carry the same power and authority that Jesus walked with. Sometimes we shy away from the Holy Spirit conversations, but when we put it like that, do I want the power that Jesus had? Heck yes. Yeah, I do. I want to walk with that authority and that power. And every time Jesus shows up, he gives us that. You know, there's a big difference between operating in your own power and operating in the power that God has for you. Most of you know my story. For the few that don't, I get great joy, and please don't hear this as an arrogant statement, but I get great joy in seeing what God has done and the way God has transformed my life. Is anyone else able to say amen to that this morning? I love looking back on who I once was to who I am now and going, that's only the way it is because of God's power, the power of Christ at work within my life. Most of you know the story, but 13, 14-year-old kid in high school, WAG school, made out I vomited, convinced mum that I needed a day off all because I was too scared to stand in front of 20 classmates to give a presentation. Used to make me sick. The thought of standing in front of anyone and talking would freak me out. You're all going to go, "You're a liar." Truth is, I'm human, but this is true. I was a really shy little kid. Incredibly shy little kid. The class clown, yes. Happy to make people laugh because that made me feel comfortable, but hated the attention. Who would have thought? In grade 8, off the back of wagging school, my social science teacher said to me, "Upton, you'll never amount to anything." I'd love to meet that man. I've tried everything I could to track him down on Facebook and connect with him, because I'd actually love to catch up with him now and say, "You know what?" Not in an arrogant way, but say, "You know what? You only saw me before God got a hold of my life." And when the power of God, absolutely praise God, when the power of God gets a hold of your world, there's a whole new realm for you to walk in. And to this day, people ask the question, don't you get scared of standing in front of the church? No, I don't. I'm not scared of you. Some of you are pretty mad looking, but I'm not scared of you. Do you know the one thing that scares me the most about what God has called me to do in my life? The one thing that scares me the most about standing up here this morning is that the Bible teaches very, very clearly that those that God calls to lead, man, their life is under a heavy microscope. That scares me. The privilege it is to stand in front of people and share the word of God, getting that right, that's what scares me. People don't scare me. Why? Because the power of God's at work in my life. The Holy Spirit has done something within me that my year 8 social science teacher could never have done. And quite frankly, did everything he could to try and stop it. Oh, I'd love to meet him. God bless Mr. Briggs. God always shows up and gives a great sense of power, of purpose, changes your perspective, and always brings peace. Who's glad about this morning? You know what I reckon? I reckon if there's one thing our community needs, it's a whole bunch of people that just reflect Jesus really well. I reckon we can complicate this all too much too often. I'm not saying I do it great all the time. I get it wrong lots. But I reckon if there was one thing that could transform our families, our communities, our workplaces, it is just simply people who reflect the love of Christ really, really well. Let me tell you this morning, when Jesus shows up, everything is up for review. When Jesus shows up in your life, everything's under the microscope. When Jesus shows up, nothing can be hidden from him. When Jesus shows up, locked doors are absolutely open. And when Jesus shows up, there ain't nothing, absolutely nothing, that can keep him out. Let me tell you this morning, church, that if Jesus hasn't shown up in your life yet, he absolutely wants to. He loves you. And perhaps you're here this morning going, I'm not sure about all this stuff, but something just feels a bit weird within me. Can I encourage you this morning that perhaps it's Jesus just knocking on the door saying, hey, I want to come in. I want to come in. When Jesus is living in us, we should absolutely live a life that's full of peace. We should live a life that has kingdom perspective, live a life that has a great purpose, and live a life that's absolutely full of power to do that which God has set before us. Are you with me this morning, church? Who's ready to go and be that person this week? You should be. You should be. We'll get it wrong, we'll get it right. But God's just simply called us to go and be Jesus to our marketplace.